From this chapter 15, I want to speak to you tonight about the deeper Christian life. You'll have heard a lot, I'm sure, about various shades of teaching on these things. There are some who have called it a second blessing, some who have referred to entire sanctification. Another movement that was the Keswick movement that referred to let go and let God. And in all, it is an appeal that there is something more to the Christian life than just making a profession of salvation and going along in a very cold, clinical fashion. Now, you may be very wary of the excesses that some teaching gives on this, because out of some of those things has come Pentecostalism, the charismatic movement, and all the excesses of those things. On the other hand, we have to confess tonight that there is something wrong with Christianity today. Something wrong that you have the excesses on one hand and you have weak, sickly, nominal, institutionalized, formal Christianity with a great deal of deadness. And of course, a young Christian, and if I was a young Christian and I observed, which way am I going to go? Am I going to go the way where there's life and vitality? And I look at the deadness and I look at the nominalism, I would say, give me life. I would say, I want to be where there is excitement, where there is something of the wonder of God present today in the church and amongst the people of the Lord. Head knowledge, of course, is not the answer either, because the more you know, the more you realize that you don't have the power of God. That's a truism. The more you go on growing in head knowledge in Christianity, the more you begin to realize, I have it up here. I have something up here, but it doesn't match in here. And it doesn't equate with the victories or the lack of victories in my Christian life. And I get people freely saying to me that I'm trying to live the Christian life, but I'm failing. And I don't get the victory, and temptation is overcoming me, and I'm slipping. And I feel that that is the state of many, many Christians, if they were honest with themselves and honest before God. And so, yes, there is more. And praise God, there is more than a life of continual defeat and self-guilt. And perhaps I and those of my persuasion are guilty of preaching the gospel in an objective fashion, where we call people to get their eyes on the Lord and on His glory, but preach too little about the heart. Preach too little about your responsibilities to walk with God and keep close to the Lord in your own personal fellowship. That is something where a great balance is needed in any pastoral ministry. And when we are seeking to preach the great doctrines of the glory of God and the gospel, we try to get people to look outside themselves and beyond themselves to the finished work of Calvary, and all of that is proper. But along with that has to come the power of God in your own soul, and the power and grace of God in your own life. I fear too that many professing believers who go to churches, that their lives are a sham. That they pretend one thing and they live another. There's an outward profession but no real possession of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that's a general observation. And I don't suppose that our church is immune to that possibility. We are living in an age when in evangelical circles in particular, and even reformed circles, easy believism is very rampant. Sign a card, make a profession, and there's no fruit in the life, no change, no Christ-likeness. And yet they are accepted as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus, and they live a worldly lifestyle. Now again, these are general observations, but I think we have to say, if that is the case, there's something wrong. Now there might be some here tonight, and you're a teenager or young in the life of this church, and you would have to confess and admit that that's where you're at. That what this church and what you are expected to profess, and therefore you seek to rise to that profession, that really is not the state of things in your heart. And you wonder, what are you going to do about it? How are you ever going to get this put right? What is the answer? Well, I believe that the ministry of our Lord in John 15 addresses these issues very pointedly. And of course here the answer given is the need to abide in the Lord. We need to aim for a life of abiding in the Lord as a branch in the vine. Andrew Murray, who was a pastor in South Africa about 100 years ago, wrote a devotional on this chapter. And he asked a missionary, what is the greatest need in the churches today? And this missionary was on furlough and he was going around churches telling a story of what God was doing in the mission field. And the missionary, without hesitation, his reply was, the greatest need in the church today is surrendered Christians. Christians who are truly surrendered to God. And I think we have to say that if every professor of the Lord was totally surrendered to the Lord, it would be the answer to the problems inside the church. And it would be the answer to the problems of workers who would go forth to serve the Lord beyond the church, in the mission field, and to take up the challenge of taking the gospel to a needy world. I think we have to agree with this observation. It fits our generation today. There are fewer believers now who are willing for Christian service than before. Fewer are willing for the commitment of the claims of the gospel than before. And fewer are willing for the sacrifices of the surrendered Christian life than before. What has happened is that the material things of this world has drained and sucked up the energy, the vitality of Christianity. And the awful emphasis that is today upon material things, and it starts in youth, it starts with education, starts with this pressure to get an education that will get you the best job, that will get you the best pay, that will get you to where you should be because you deserve it. That kind of pressure shifts the focus of Christianity. And it shifts us from a life of abiding in the Lord Jesus. People end up with another agenda, apart from living the life of abiding in Christ. Busy, busy, busy. Rushing, rushing. Don't have time. Too committed to other things. The need is surrendered Christians who are willing to be whatever it takes to go through with God. Now this chapter 15 of John's Gospel is the Lord's call to the surrendered life, and it is the life of a branch. That's all he asks us to be, a branch in the vine. And the Lord uses this very powerful and vivid analogy of the relationship between the believer, the Christian, and the Lord himself to demonstrate the surrender that is required. Total surrender that is required to be a fruitful Christian. Now my prayer is that our meditations on this tonight and through the week will produce in every one of us a surrender of life. I want you to see that the life of a branch is in the vine is a life of complete supply. Complete supply. And then we're going to move on and we're going to see that the life of a branch is a life of complete surrender. And then we'll see that it's a life of complete strength. So that's my outline tonight. May not get through with it, but that's where we want to go. It's a life of complete supply. And I'd bring you to verse 4, where the Lord says, "Abide in me, and I in you." There's the supply. There's the mystery of this. As we are called to abide in the Lord, there's a mystery takes place. As we abide in the Lord, He abides in us. And it is the same mystery, really, that takes place between the branch and the vine. And if I may liken the grafting onto the vine, the branch itself that is borrowed in, and when you graft in, you cut a little V-shape into the wood of the vine, and you point the branch, and you insert it in, wood to wood, closely, as tightly as possible, bandage it up, or glue it in, and you make sure that the fit is tight and snug, and a mystery happens. There is a merge between the life of the branch and the life of the vine. And the branch takes on life in the vine, and the vine pours its life into the branch. And here's the Lord saying, "Abide in me, and I in you." Now this is not just at our conversion, it's not just at our regeneration, the day that we're born again and we're brought into the Lord for the first time. This is an ongoing process all the days of our earthly pilgrimage. This is an ongoing process. It is the grafting or the planting of the believer into the Lord Jesus. And the supply comes from the vine. Now there's a verse I want you to think about in Ephesians 1 where it talks about we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the complete supply. Everything that you need as a Christian, every spiritual requirement is yours, provided for you by this union, by this abiding in the Lord. In Romans 6, if I may read you verse 5, you'll notice that the language there is the language of planting. If you've been baptized into or you've been planted into the life of the Lord Jesus. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now there in that doctrinal passage is the language of planting together and of power into the likeness of his death, into the likeness of his resurrection. So that in the Christian there ought to be a resurrection life, a resurrection power. It is absolute folly for you and I to look anywhere else for spiritual power, spiritual help, spiritual strength than to abide in the Lord Jesus. Everything else is a substitute, a phony, a cop-out. In fact, it is contrary to the work of grace to go anywhere else. And so the key to power, the key to victory in the Christian life, the key to a prayer life, the key to joy, the key to blessedness, is in abiding in the Lord Jesus. And as we abide in Him, the supply is given us. And so the thing that we need to attend to is not some new church ministry, not some new doctrine. It is to cease from our rushing and bustling about and take time to abide in the Lord Jesus. Now, this supply, we have to talk about the supply just a little minute. It's abundant. It is everything that flows through the covenant of grace, the work of Calvary, the death and blood, the righteousness of our Lord, the work of His redemption and sanctification. And one of the things I would have a difficulty with the Keswick movement I mentioned, the entire sanctification doctrine, those kind of messages, is they tend to divorce them from Christ. They tend to say, you're saved by grace, you're sanctified by personal effort. I put it carefully and I say they tend to say that because there's all kinds of teachers and they write different things and some to go to various degrees on this. And I just say they tend to divorce the work of salvation and the work of sanctification. That's not a good thing. Because everything that you and I have in the gospel flows to us from the cross, flows to us from the same source, the vine. One vine, one supply. Every benefit, every blessing comes to us through Him, through His power, and through His grace. Now, the husbandman, of course, has a part in this, and that is the work of our Heavenly Father. And He is, this husbandman, is everything to the vine, and the vine is everything to the branches. Yet the reality is that God's people forget this relationship. They neglect the necessity for a life of fellowship and feeding in the Lord. And what happens? We wither. We wither. And a withering branch in the vine is in a very dangerous place. Very dangerous place. The withered branch in this parable, the completely withered branch, that is cut off, burned, because something went wrong. There's no life coming from the vine into the branch. There's no flow of sap and nourishment from the vine into the branch. The branch has died. That union between the branch and the vine is not there. It's gone. Now you know what the Bible teaches about eternal security. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And I believe that. I believe that's a consistent doctrine right through the Bible. But nobody can take comfort and say, I made a profession one time of trusting in the Lord, therefore I'm always saved, no matter what fruit I bring forth or none. The only comfort and assurance that you can have that you are truly born again, that you are truly in union with the vine, is that there is the life of the vine in you. And that you are not a withered, dead piece of wood. And so there is need to take heed here. Every supply comes from the vine. Are you abiding? That's the question. This brings us then to life as a branch in the vine is a life of complete surrender. Surrender to the purpose of life as a branch. Think about it. What is a branch? What is the purpose of a branch? To bring forth fruit for the vine, for the husbandman. The branch has absolutely no value, no purpose, no agenda, no real existence apart from the life and purpose of the vine. It is a piece of wood attached to the vine which has no existence or value apart from its attachment to the vine. Its sole purpose is to enable the vine to produce fruit through its wood. That's what a branch is. And since you have been saved and redeemed by the Lord Jesus, your sole purpose is to bear fruit as a Christian. Your purpose is not materialism, money-making, fame, fortune, comforts, ease, pleasure. You, as a branch, are saved. You have become a branch united to the vine with a sole purpose to glorify the Lord in bearing fruit. That's your sole purpose. And if you step out of that purpose, you have lost your value, lost your significance, lost the very reason for existence as a Christian. And so you must have no other agenda, no other aim in life but this one goal. And you can say to the Lord, I am here for you to bear fruit through me. Now that takes complete surrender. And it might take someone here to the other side of the world. It might mean that you have to give up, do without, and lay it on the line, and lay your whole life on the altar. But that's the surrender of life as a branch in the vine. Also, it's surrender to grow in conformity to the vine. This mystery of the wood of the branch and the wood of the vine, there's a similarity, there's a likeness that grows together. Now I know in the world of grafting you can bring in almost any plant and graft it into another plant and do strange things. But in normal circumstances, a genuine vine with its own branches, there will be likeness. And in this very surrender, the wood of the vine, the branch, is to resemble, the branch is to grow and develop and strengthen and grow and expand in a very conformity to the vine. That takes surrender. That takes away your own agenda. That takes away your own self-interest. A yieldedness to the will and purposes of God. And then you'll notice another area of surrender. That there are no exceptions. There are no exceptions to the rule of abiding. Some people just love to be the odd one out and do things a little differently. But you'll notice how the Lord insisted upon this. In verse 4, he used the word except. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in the vine. And then to clarify, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. There's no other way. There's no other way. This is a most humbling fact. Most humbling. It knocks the pride right out of every one of us. And perhaps it points the reason for failure. The reason for all our busyness and all our activities and all our action. But where's the fruit? We have missed the absolute imperative, the necessity of abiding in the Lord Jesus. And things that are done without prayer, without waiting on the Lord, without bathing it and laying it out before God and seeking His blessing and working in His will, comes to nothing. Comes to nothing. Whether it's in your family or in your business or in the house of God. We read of missionaries and preachers and churches who have done great things for God. But they learned. They learned that great things are only done for God by abiding. By surrendering. And just as Andrew Murray asked that missionary, what is the great need in the church today? The need is surrendered Christians. I agree that that is the great need today. Young person, we need to see you surrendered completely to the Lord. We need to see Christians that lay things on the line for God. I'm here for you to use me to bear fruit. One more area of surrender, and that is the pruner's knife, that we may bring forth more fruit. You'll notice how the Lord started out in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This is hard. General consensus of understanding of what this is about is the Lord sending reverses and trials into our Christian lives and into the ministry of the church. And it's the Lord pruning the vine. And when we thought that there was going to be fruit from certain branches, they get lopped off. And trials are exceeding hard, painful. Just as that wood that's eagerly growing, and the husbandman comes and shears off those branches that he sees fit to prune back. We have to surrender to the pruning. I want to read to you what J.C. Ryle wrote about this aspect of the pruning of the Christian. Trial, to speak plainly, is the instrument by which our Father in heaven makes Christians holy. By trial, he calls out their passive graces and proves whether they can suffer his will as well as do it. By trial, he weans them from the world, draws them to Christ, drives them to the Bible and prayer, shows them their own hearts, and makes them humble. This is the process by which he purges them and makes them more fruitful. The lives of the saints in every age are the best and truest comment on the text. Never, hardly, do we find an eminent saint, either in Old Testament or the New, who was not purified by suffering, and like his master, a man of sorrows. Let us learn to be patient in the day of darkness. If we know anything of vital union with Christ, our trials are not meant to do us harm, but to do us good. And then he quotes Hebrews 12:10, that God chastens us for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, if we fight that, and we resent that, and we become bitter, and we say, I can't accept the reverses. I can't accept these trials. If God was good, he wouldn't allow this to happen to me. And then we're not surrendering to life as a branch in the vine. And our Father, who loves us and cares for us, knows when we need a pruning. And in his wise ways, he does it his way. So there is the life of complete surrender. Are you willing for it? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's going to make you a giggly, bouncy, happy, up and down, wonderful person. This is about the deeper things of God. This is what the frenzied charismatic doesn't want to even talk about. This is what the easy believer doesn't want to know at all. But if you want to bear fruit, if you want to glorify your heavenly Father with much fruit bearing, you must surrender to life as a branch in the vine. There's no other way. No exceptions allowed. And I know in our own ego and pride, we will say, but maybe most Christians need that, but I don't need it. Because I do pray, and I do walk with the Lord, and I do read my Bible, and I do try to do the right things. I don't need this pruning. But the wisdom of our Heavenly Father says we all need it. And we all need to abide in Him. in the Lord Jesus. There's no exceptions. Are you willing for life as a branch of the vine? The last one that I would draw your attention to tonight is that life as a branch in the vine is a life of complete strength. Here's the wonder of it. As we have seen, the branch is nothing in itself, has no power, no life-giving power, cannot bear fruit in itself. It will only wither and die if it's separated from the vine. It is a dying entity on its own. Its life and fruitfulness is by union to the vine. And it's like a miracle. When it's united to the vine, life pours in. And it's rejuvenated. And it becomes fruit-bearing. It not only lives, but it produces fruit. This is the mystery. This is the wonder of it. And because it takes the role of a branch. Now apply this to ourselves. We have no power, no strength, no might. We can't do a thing spiritually. We're so weak. But when we are willing for a life of union with the vine and abiding in Him, there is wonderful, a mysterious, life-giving power. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, "When I am weak, then am I strong." And in that he's speaking about being brought to understand his weakness to the point where he cries out to the Lord. And because he's made to feel and experience his weakness, he rests in the Lord. That's abiding in the vine. Or Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And so now this is the strength that we receive and enjoy. Strength in our weakness, strength in our trials, strength to bear fruit, strength to find rest. You see, this is the life of a branch. A branch has nothing to do, nothing to worry about, nothing to take care of, except play its proper role. As a branch. Be a branch. Only be a branch. If I may quote again Andrew Murray on this, he said, "The branch has no care. The vine provides all. It has but to yield itself and receive. It is the knowledge of this truth that leads to the blessed rest of faith, the true secret of growth and strength." Just rest. Cease from all your activities and actions and wonders, and just rest in the Lord.